Ancient Warfare, Introduction to the Bronze Age Sea Peoples, 1400 BC to 1000 BC. The term Sea Peoples used to be about strange unknown invaders from an unknown region that appeared around 1400 BC and destabilized the Bronze Age empires of the Mycenaeans, the Hittites, the Minoans, of course. By 1400 BC, the Minoans had already been overrun by the Mycenaeans after their civilization was damaged by the volcanic eruption on the island of Thera, Santorini. Egypt, this is the second intermediate era where the Hyksos from Byblos are there. And then, of course, this carries on into the New Kingdom period of Ramses III and Ramses II. And you have the Syrian kingdoms, which are particularly confused. This would have included the city-state of Ebla and others in this region, which get knocked down and then are occupied by the Hyksos and other groups. So, as you can see, it's always been kind of strange. But we now know that the Sea Peoples were various seaborne raiders as well as invaders from a loose confederation of clans and tribes who happened to trouble the Aegean area, the Near East, Asia Minor, the Levant, and Egypt. And, of course, Egypt provides us with our best records, including descriptions and artwork of what they looked like. Now, during the final period of the Bronze Age, though the Egyptians knew, at least we believe, the homelands of the Sea Peoples. Unfortunately, like so much of the knowledge of the ancient world, that has been lost to us. The material culture of the Sea Peoples, using Cyprus and the Levant areas, and that they were known to inhabit, we find that it was characteristic by Achaean-style pottery. Most of it from the Aegean area, but not all of it. Egyptian inscriptions at Mindanet Abu, added to the Hittite records, reveal the emergence of European populations coming into power in the last centuries of the second millennium BC. The movements / causes of migration for the barbarian raiders. There's a crisis of the palatial system. In other words, you have these great palace complexes, which you initially have on Crete, but then, of course, you've got Mycenae and Troy and other places who have palatial cities as well. And, of course, you also have internal quarrels and the need for new settlements among the new inhabitants of the Aegean. Perhaps folk defeated by various groups, and they're seeking refuge in new lands in the western area. I mean, an example of this that you're familiar with is the German migrations in Rome. You know, in the Germanic sequence, you know, a lot of times you look at a map of ancient Rome and you see where the Germans are, and then a lot of people think that whole area out into Central Asia is just empty land. It's full of people. You have the Germans in the front area, then you have the Slavs and then others, and all the way to China. Well, in the Germanic system, if your tribe becomes overpopulated and you need more land for your people, you just simply push a weaker tribe off of their land. That weaker tribe then has to move and find other land. And so you have this issue where once you're pushed out of German land, the only place to go is into Rome. And then, of course, you see how these migrations then put the pressure on Rome. Well, you have the same thing here. If you have a group of people moving into the Aegean area and they destabilize the kingdoms that are there, and then they collapse, then the survivors of those will then maneuver into another position. So it's kind of a domino effect. The repercussions of the Greek/Mycenaean migrations and then the conquest among the Egyptians and neighboring countries are revealed by records of Ramses III, the reason for sweeping change in the Late Bronze Society, the fall of the palatial societies in Greece, and the fall of the Levant dynasties. It is still a puzzle whether the collapse of the Late Bronze Age civilizations, or there was just one of several reasons, but it is certainly one of the most significant migrations in the history of the Mediterranean world, because there are people who leave the Aegean area and the Levant area and end up all over the place. They've even found just recently in this year, well, I should say in 2017, DNA study found that some of these people were in Ireland. So there is a lot of movement. In the Egyptian text, the sea peoples are known as northerners. They were very familiar with the sea, and for at least 200 years, the Sherdan people were well known as pirates and mercenaries. The late Helladic period, or sea period, which is 1150 to 1050 BC, you find pottery in the citadels ravaged in the late Bronze Age. Some cities such as Tyrin and Argos and Ancomi and Cyprus became sea people bases and the home of their periodic confederations. These events may have provoked the Achaean princes to piracy, the search for new homelands in the east. I'll give you an example here. Let's take the creation of the first king of Norway. Norway at one time, before Harald Fairhair, was made up of lots of people claiming to be the king of Norway, when in reality they were just king of the local tribe in a local area. And ultimately, Harald Fairhair was able to conquer all of them. When he defeated them, you had a choice. You become his vassal, or you forfeit your land and get out. And a lot of the people left, and they went to different areas. You go, they went a raiding. They did all sorts of stuff. And so around 800 to 900 or so AD, you have all these Viking incursions. Some of them came back and forth, and some of them were people leaving because they didn't want to be unified under another person. Now, confronting in the Hittites in Asia Minor, of course, these people who came in from Indo-Aryan settings, the Central Asia, the Hittites would have been right in the middle of their advances towards the Aegean Sea. And also, if you were in the Aegean and you were advancing inland on the coast of Anatolia, you were going to run into the Hittites, who by this time were in the process of being in a state of decline. By 1200 BC, the tide of European invasion had swept across Asia Minor, broken up the Hittite Empire, spreading over the coasts of Anatolia and into the Fertile Crescent. This also involved Semitic people as well in their normal migration movement. All of them began to, instead of move and leave, they moved and settled permanently. Now, the Egyptian Empire always was attractive, and the political situation in Egypt offered the opportunity for new settlement as well. So remember, the Hyksos, which were from Byblos and are considered sea peoples, were initially hired as mercenaries, became so important they settled in the Nile Delta area, and then at the end of the Middle Kingdom, basically took over that area until they were booted out. Now, Ramses III led his best forces, including sea people, mercenaries, and won complete control of land and sea battles. Groups of the defeated sea people were then settled as guardians over the eastern frontiers of Egypt, such as the Philistines, which were placed along the Palestinian coast. And as the power of the pharaohs faded, the settlers slash guardians then began creating their own kingdoms. So this is a section of history that has just been getting a lot of new information, and it is not very well covered as well in many places. So I thought it'd be nice to do a little series. I think there's 5 shows that I'm going to do. Now, the sources for this are the Sea Peoples of the Bronze Age Mediterranean, 1400 to 1000 BC, by D'Amato and Salimbetti. The People of the Sea, The Search for the Philistines, by Dothan and Dothan. The Philistines and Other Sea Peoples in Text and Archaeology, Killebrew and Lehaman. And The Collapse of the Bronze Age, The Study of Greece, Troy, Egypt, and the Peoples of the Sea, by Robbins. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the new website, historyaccordingtobob.com or sumahistorica.com, and Check out the CDs, which, of course, can be sent to you electronically on a USB. And if you have a question, you can ask that. And if you like what we're doing, please feel to contribute to the cause. And thank you very much.